allow Him to lead us and spend that time with Him. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 9, if you would. And let's stand together and read Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29 is a lesson on faith. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. It says in Mark chapter 9, verse 14, "And when he came down," or when he came to the disciples, "he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered, said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him, said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.' Then Jesus saw the people come running. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to a deaf and dumb spirit, 'I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that they said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he rose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So he said to them, 'This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" Let's bow our heads as we see what the Lord has to share with us in this passage. Dear Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I know that this is a lesson of faith. I pray, Lord, that you'd please allow me to be your mouthpiece, your instrument. I ask, Father, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds, dear Father. Lord, it never says in your word that you want perfect faith, but you do want faith. And I just pray, Father, you would bless us. I pray that you'd encourage us. Lord, I pray that you'd convict us. I ask that you'd edify us by your truth. Transform us, dear Father, more into the image of your Son. And now, Lord, we're so grateful to be here. We ask your blessing upon us and your grace upon this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As you know, our Lord Jesus is up north of Galilee in a place called Caesarea Philippi. And he had gone up to the mountain. Remember that? We saw that in chapter 9 of Mark. And we learned that Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him. And remember, he was transformed before them. He was displaying his majesty to Peter, James, and John to help them with their faith because they were discouraged. And though they believed that Jesus is the Messiah, the King of Israel, Jesus began to show them visibly what they believed was truth. And it was important for them to see this. And Christ did this to encourage them, to strengthen them in their faith. Because right before that, Jesus had shared with his disciples that he was going to die. And we learned that when he went up to the mountain, he left the other nine down in the valley. And while they were there, while Jesus was up in the mountain, as he came back, remember Jesus told his disciples not to reveal this, what they had seen, until after he has resurrected from the dead. And they were scratching their heads thinking, what does it mean, the resurrection or the resurrection from the dead? They knew what it meant, really, because they've heard teachings of the resurrection. And once again, I'm sure their hearts became sad as they thought about Jesus having to die and to be resurrected. As Jesus came down from the mountain, as you remember, he had shared these things with him. They asked him about Elijah. He explained to them that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, but we learned that Christ is going to come a second time. Isn't that true? Christ came the first time. We learned that he planted his church here in Pentecost. The church began. And we learned through the scripture that Christ Jesus is coming again. God's word is truth, beloved. And he is coming again. Praise God for that. What a wonderful thing to see. I'd like to be here when that happens, but I may not. May not be. And so he shared with them about some of the problems they're having with their theology regarding Elijah. And we learned that Elijah will come, believing to be one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. We also learned that as Jesus comes down from the mountain, he finds that there's a commotion at the bottom of the mountain. And we find ourselves here looking at verse 14. Now, let me just give you the outline here. In this passage, Jesus is dealing with faith. And he's dealing with people and their weak faith. And that's what the issue is right here. And beloved, let me tell you something. One thing I want, and I pray for you, that you and I may keep growing in our faith, that we may keep growing in our knowledge, that we may keep growing in our love for God. This is my desire for you and for myself. And this is what I pray for my children. Lord, I don't want to stop here. I want to keep going. I want to keep being transformed into the image of Christ. May you help me to grow in my faith. By the way, sometimes faith takes the path of suffering. You may wonder, why am I going through this? Sometimes it's just for your faith to grow. It is God's will that we grow in our faith. It is God's will that we grow in our knowledge. It is God's will that we grow in our love for Him. And we need to submit ourselves to that. That's why you could never stop studying the Word of God. So never stop. Paul, when he was in prison, he didn't stop, did he? Now let me give you the outline here. Mark chapter 9. Jesus is dealing with weak faith. This is a lesson of faith. In verses 14 to 19, Jesus deals with the failure of weak faith. In verses 10 to 27, dealing with weak faith. And finally, in verses 28 to 29, the explanation of weak faith. And you can imagine, at this time, Jesus had been with his disciples for over 2 years, approximately 2.5 years. And he's been sharing with them, speaking with them, teaching them, displaying his power, his glory, his majesty. And he expects a lot more from his disciples. And he comes down from the mountain, and let's look at the first part here. He deals with their failure. Now, I must tell you again that the Lord is not looking for perfect faith, but he's looking for some type of faith. In verses 14 and 19, Jesus comes down and he's extremely disappointed. It says in verse 14, and he came in to the disciples and he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. And he comes down and everybody's shocked. You know, they're so busy in this dispute. Jesus just pops up, you know, and they're like, oh! Because the word amazed me. They were like stuck out of their minds, you know, like, oh, you're here. And then he says, what were you guys discussing? You know what's interesting? The disciples say nothing and the scribes say nothing. What are you guys talking about? But the one that speaks up is the father, the desperate father of this boy who has a demon in him. And let me tell you, he is so disappointed. So Jesus comes to them and he says, he says to the scribes, immediately when he saw them, verse 15, all the people were greatly amazed, running to him. They greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? You know, you have an argument? Come and talk to me. That's not how they work, right? They go to the disciples. They go into the back door. They did not even say a word to him. Verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son. He thought Jesus was there with among the disciples. I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So he spoke to your disciples. What happened? That they should cast it out, but they could not. Verse 19. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Let me tell you something. He wasn't talking to the father. He wasn't talking to the boy. Some say possibly he's talking to the scribes. Let me tell you, he definitely is including the disciples. He was so disappointed in them. How many times does Christ have to show him his glory? How many times the Lord had to calm the storm?
Cast out demons.
How many displays of glory and majesty do they have to see to believe in him? And so we learn here that the man comes and he's so disappointed. And listen to the words, by the way. He says, I brought my son to your disciples, thinking Jesus was there. And he says this, verse 18. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out. You see that word? But they could not. Literally what it means is they didn't have the strength. Isn't that interesting? They didn't have the strength. I thought that was pretty fascinating. It's the same exact word you find in Mark chapter 5, verse 4. Go with me there. Mark chapter 5, verse 4. Now, if you have an ESV or NASV, it has the word strength or strong. In Mark chapter 5, verse 4, there's another demoniac. And it says in chapter 5 of Mark, verse 1, and they came to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gadarenes. Remember this? And when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Now, this is the part I want you to focus on. And neither could anyone what? Tame him. The literal translation is no one was strong enough. ESV says no one had the strength to control him or to tame him. NASB says no one was strong enough. The same exact word. And when this man brought his son to the disciples, go back with me to Mark chapter 9, they were not strong enough. They didn't have the strength. Something happened. Jesus had given his disciples the authority and the power to cast out demons, to heal the sick. In Mark chapter 6, time had passed. And now when a demon-possessed boy comes to them, they didn't have the strength, or they didn't have the faith to cast out this demon. What happened? Well, they might have been discouraged. But we learned that their faith wasn't there. Go with me to Mark 6. Let's look at that passage real quick. Mark 6, verse 7. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. He gave them power over unclean spirits. There it is. He commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. Surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Verse 12, so they went out and preached that people should believe, repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. They had power. They had authority. And now this man comes with his son and they can't help him. Isn't that interesting? They didn't have the strength. And there's a problem there. We learn that they didn't spend time in prayer. You see, all this time they had Jesus with them. All this time they've seen Jesus, His power, His majesty, and His glory. And they always had Him. He always came to the rescue. But now Jesus goes up to a mountain. They're by themselves, the nine. And they bring this demon-possessed boy. For some reason, they just can't do it. They needed to learn how to draw strength from the Lord. Their faith was shaken, especially after Jesus had warned them that He was going to go to die, and it kind of shook their theology. Here we learn it even had shook their faith. Something happened from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 9. Their faith was weak. Beloved, let me tell you something. Sometimes our faith can be weak, can it? Let me tell you something about faith. We need to maintain our faith. And the way we maintain our faith is to spend time in God's Word. Fill our heart and our mind with God's truth. If you're not doing that on a regular basis, you're going to be weak. And if you're not spending time with God on a regular basis, you're going to be weak. And when the trials hit you, they're going to hit you really hard. Because you're not ready. You need God's Word every single day. You need to be in His Word and you need to be in prayer and you need to draw strength from the Lord every single day. The disciples hadn't learned to do that. They were always with Jesus. And now Jesus departs to the mountain with three other disciples, and when the problem arises, they can't handle it. Jesus is extremely disappointed. Go with me to Psalm 1, would you? We looked at this on a Wednesday night. Psalm 1. How does this man remain strong? How is it that this man in Psalm 1 is like a tree? How is it, whatever this man does, he flourishes, he prospers? First of all, it's the company he keeps. And second of all, it's what he fills his heart and his mind with. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This man keeps good company, godly men, godly women. He that walks with wise men will be wise. This man doesn't listen to ungodly people, ungodly things. Doesn't stand in their path to see the progression there. But rather, his delight is in what? His delight, his joy is in the law of God. That's the Word of God. Not only is it his joy, his delight, he does something with it. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He's constantly being refreshed by God's truth in his heart and in his mind. You can't do that when you're filling your mind with the television. You just can't do that. When you're filling your mind with, you know, all kinds of garbage that the TV has to give you or the computer, you're not filling your mind with God's truth. And let me tell you, that's going to affect your faith. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know why? Because God is with him. This is a man that knows how to draw strength from God. Beloved, I want to encourage you to spend the time with the Lord in His Word. You might say, well, you know, I already read this before. I know what that says. You know, you need to read it again. Don't become prideful and say, I've heard people say, I read the Bible already. Really? Yeah, I don't have to read it again. Really? It's like saying, I don't have to eat again.
Isn't that ridiculous?
We need God's truth in our heart and in our mind, constantly flowing through our heart and our mind, being transformed into the image of His Son. We need to spend time with God. This man learned that. Filling our heart with God's Word. The disciples had taken it for granted that Jesus gave them this power, and now they go, they try to cast out this demon, and guess what? It's not working. And they're there, and Jesus comes down. He sees this commotion, and you see the scribes arguing with them. Can you imagine what they're arguing about? It is possible that they were basically mocking them because they had no power. We don't know what they're arguing about. We don't know what the dispute was about. But I can tell you this, when people see the disciples of Christ having no faith and no power, it gives them an opportunity to blaspheme the name of Christ. And so, I can tell you this, the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I don't have any strength. I need God's strength. When I come up here and stand before you, I need God's strength. I need God's grace to give you His message. I'm just flesh and blood. I'm just a little boy up here. God is the one that uses me. And I'm so thankful. What a blessing it is to share it with you. Go back with me to Mark chapter 9, would you? Mark chapter 9. So we see here that there's a failure because of weak faith. And we know that because of the end of the story, see? You might say, well, are you sure that's what it is? Well, yes. Jesus is dealing with the failure of weak faith. This man comes, he sees the disciples of Jesus, thinking Jesus must be there, brings his son, this poor man, so desperate for years, thinking the son's going to be healed, doesn't see Jesus there, asks help from his disciples. His disciples can't help him. Mark chapter 9, verse 10. Jesus now begins to deal with this man's faith. By the way, you see the tenderness of Christ when He talks to this man. Look at chapter, look at verse 20. Verse 20. After Jesus, you can tell that this is just an emotional saying in verse 19. It's like Jesus once again saying to His disciples, "O ye of little faith." So in verse 20, and they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit did what? Some doctors say, well, this is not demon possession, this was just epilepsy. No, this is a demon. Believe the Bible, I believe God's word rather than man. This is a demon, it convulsed him. He fell on the ground, he wallowed foaming at the mouth, and he asked his father, and this is really interesting. He asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? Now you might think, Jesus, why do you ask that? Is there a reason for that? I mean, is there like, you know, one man put it, is there a statute of limitation on how long he's demon possessed or something? No, you know, Jesus wants the man to realize that he's coming to a person. He's not just coming to a power. Jesus shows not only his humanity here, he's showing compassion, the compassion of God. And he does that in different passages that we have read. And so Jesus now opens the conversation. The reason why is because this man has a lot of pain. A lot of pain for many years. And so Jesus simply says, tell me your story. I like that. His bedside manner is excellent. How long has this been happening? And he said, from childhood. Can you imagine? This man having to watch his son every day, all night, not knowing when this demon's going to take effect. He says in verse 22, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to do what? To destroy him. This thing was trying to kill the little boy. And let me tell you, back in those days, there were a lot of open fires. That's how they cooked. And there were a lot of places to or wells that they had in that area. So often this man had to constantly watch this boy and to protect him. The mercy was not just for the boy, the mercy was for the father too. Remember the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman? She says, "Have mercy on me," remember? It's like, wait a minute, it's the woman, it's the girl that's demon possessed. Yeah, but you're having mercy on the mother. You know, often I pray, when I pray for people, I say, "Lord, please have mercy on them. Lord, by having mercy on them, you're having mercy on me." Because I worry about them. I'm concerned about them. I love them. And if you have mercy on them, Lord, you're having mercy on me. And the same thing. Verse 22, "And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything," the man's faith, you know, has been shattered with the disciples. "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus picks up on his words. And Jesus said to him, if you can, right? He says, "Jesus, if you can," he says, "Well, if you can." So Jesus says to him, and it's interesting that Jesus says this because he emphasizes faith. Jesus wants to bring this man and he wants to bring him up to faith. And he says to him, "If you can believe," all things are possible to him who believes. He wants this man to exercise faith. Now, if this man had no faith, could Jesus do nothing? Of course not. Jesus is Almighty God, can do whatever he wants. There are many times that Jesus healed people who had no faith, didn't even know who he is. But Jesus wants to draw out this man's faith. And so he says to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible," of course, according to God's will, right? "To him who believes." And I love this answer. This poor man, in desperation, in brokenness, in sincerity, says in verse 24, "Immediately the father of the child cried out. And he said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.'" Beloved, this is an honest man. And you and I, we need to pray sometimes, "Lord, help me. Because I'm doubting right now." Jesus is not asking for perfect faith, beloved. But he is asking for a mustard seed. And I think that you have that. And so he says to this man, "All things are possible." And so this man says, "Help my unbelief." I like that. And guess what the answer to that would be? Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I pray that even for my knowledge. I pray that even for my love. "Lord, help me because I don't love you enough. Lord, help me. I don't believe in you enough. Lord, help me. I don't have enough knowledge regarding you and your word and your truth. Would you help me, God?" And I believe this is a prayer according to God's will. And I believe the answer is, of course. You know, faith, the word God says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." What is the gift of God? Grace. Faith. Right? It's given to us by God. I don't wake up one morning and say, "Oh, I have more faith today. Lord, give me faith, please." It's God who opened your heart. It's God who opened your eyes. It's God that caused you to believe in His Son who died and resurrected for your sin. This man asked for help. And I believe God gives a hearty answer, absolutely. Absolutely. And may God help us. So we see Jesus in His tenderness, His compassion. We see the same thing in John chapter 5. Remember the man who was a paralytic on the near the pool of Bethesda? Remember that? Go with me to John chapter 5, would you? I thought it was really interesting how the Lord just has these conversations. I can never get over when Jesus spoke to blind Bartimaeus when he was coming near Jericho or exiting Jericho, and he's blind and they bring him to Jesus, and then Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Remember that? Like, are you really serious? Jesus wants us to verbalize to Him our petitions. John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now after there was a feast of the Jews, Jesus went up to Jerusalem." John 5, 2 says, "Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude." This was basically the custom there. "They laid this great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water," this is how the teaching went, "he was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity," how long? 38 years. Verse 6, "When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time," I love this, "he said to him, 'You want to be made well?'" Why does Jesus ask him that? He wants to hear his story. He wants to draw out of a man his story. And what does the man say? "The sick man answered, 'Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool and when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before I'm never going to get there.'" Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." Immediately. When people come to the Lord for healing, for miracles, He's a person. Jesus Christ is showing people that there's a God that knows them and cares. God knows you and He cares. He cares enough to know the number of hairs on your head. And sometimes we wonder if God really cares. Oh, He cares. He knows every thought in your mind. And He hears every thought. He cares for you. Sometimes we wonder if He does. He does. And He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to pour out your heart to Him. Jesus wants to know your story. He knows your story. He wants you to share it with Him. Remember the man that came to Jesus in Mark chapter 1, and we find there's this leper, and we learned through the book of Luke, he had an advanced stages of leprosy. He was white as snow, his skin, according to Luke. And he says to Jesus, he kneels down and says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This man knew the power of Christ. He knew the power had the authority and the power to heal him. But he said, "Lord, if you're willing," and Jesus said, "I am willing." This man is the very opposite. He said, "Lord, if you can help me, please help me." Because he was doubting. He had weak faith. And Jesus, in his tenderness, understood that. His faith had been shaken, especially after the disappointment and the failure of his disciples. Even his disciples at one time asked Jesus to increase their faith. Remember that? Go with me to Luke chapter 17. Have you ever asked that prayer? In Luke chapter 17, Jesus began to talk about 17 verse 19. Luke chapter 17. Okay. Hold on. I'm sorry, it's Matthew. I apologize. Matthew 17:19. Gotta scratch that from the recording. Matthew 17:19. Matthew 17:19 says that then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, okay, Glenn, scratch that one. Luke 17:3. I must be tired this morning. It must be the smell of that wonderful food distracting me. Luke 17:3. And Luke 17, verse 3 says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. So the theme there is forgiveness. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. What's the next sentence there, the next clause there in verse 5? And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that interesting? Lord, you're asking a lot from us. You're telling us to forgive. Sometimes people, they sin against us. They don't deserve our forgiveness. And that is true. As much as we don't deserve God's forgiveness. I want you to understand, beloved, when it comes to obeying God's word, it's an act of faith. Do you understand that? When it comes to obeying God's word, we obey not because we want to, because it's obedience and because it's an act of faith. And so here the apostles are saying, you know what? This is really hard. Lord, increase our faith. And so I want you to understand this. Going back with me to Mark 9. So we see that that the Lord said to this man, you know, if you can't believe, all things are possible. And this man, very honestly, says, Lord, I believe, but I need help. What a wonderful confession. And sometimes you and I need to do that. We need to confess our weaknesses. And you know, God will help us. God will help us. Why do we need our faith to increase? Why do we need strong faith? Because, as I said before, obedience is an act of faith. We walk by faith, don't we? We walk by faith. We live by faith, don't we? Has anybody here seen the resurrected Christ? Has anybody here seen God Almighty? We haven't, have we? We're walking by faith. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin? Do you believe He was buried and resurrected from the dead? You are walking by faith. You have not seen Christ. You have not seen God. Yet you love Him. And you believe His word. We walk by faith, beloved. And when we obey, we do it by faith. So, they say, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Go back with me to Mark 9. We learn that Jesus cast out this demon. It says here in Mark 9. It says, verse 25, and Jesus saw that the people came running together and rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him the more. You see, when it comes to his public ministry, that was over. His time now is for his apostles and his disciples. So a crowd started gathering together, and Jesus says, you know, I'm going to deal with this right away. Praise God, he said, not to enter him no more. Verse 26, then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But you see, Jesus empowered him, takes him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And Luke has a tender picture and gave him back to his daddy. Sweet picture. And we had come into the house. This is now another time. Jesus gives his boy back to his father, and we learn now that Jesus begins to explain to the disciples. And I like Matthew's explanation because Matthew doesn't leave anything out. And he says here in verse 28 and 29, and when the disciples had come into the house, his disciples asked him, they're asking out privately, we don't want anybody to hear what's going on, why could we not cast him out? Lord, we tried several times. What was wrong? Jesus said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. You know, just like the angels are ranked in different positions, we learn that even there are principalities even in the demonic world. This is a powerful demon. Powerful. And this way, according to Jesus, this doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Jesus gives us further explanation. Matthew 17, verse 19 to 21. Matthew 17, verse 19. It says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of what?' Because of your unbelief. Because of their weak faith. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Can you imagine? They're there several times. They're trying to cast out this demon, and they're scratching their heads. They're wondering what's going on. They know Jesus is up in the mountain. They're like, they can't help this boy. He's going into convulsions. Here's the Father pleading for their help. They just seem so helpless, but they haven't done something. They haven't gotten on their knees. They cried out to God to help them. They haven't drawn on the strength of the Lord. But rather, they're on their own, using their own strength, thinking by their own power that they can cast out this demon. It's not going to happen. And beloved, when you and I do not pray, when we don't spend time with God, we're not drawing strength from God. And we try to do things, we try to obey the Lord, but we're not filled with His Spirit and His strength. Jesus wanted His disciples to learn this lesson well, because there's going to come a time where He no longer is going to be with them. Can you imagine in this short time, in their failure and their weak faith, they couldn't cast out this demon? Can you imagine when He's gone at the right hand of the Father, what's going to happen? They needed to learn to pray. They needed to learn to draw from the Lord, to cry out for help. And beloved, I really believe that this was a lesson for them. It wasn't so much a lesson for the boy or the man. It was a lesson for His disciples. They needed to learn how to draw strength from God, as you and I need to draw strength from the Lord. Why do you think the Word of God is so full of words like casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you? Why do you think Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing? Let me ask you, are you a man of prayer? Are you a woman of prayer? We need to talk to the Lord. Many times we don't talk to God, or we don't spend time in the Word. And one of the reasons why we don't spend time in the Word or we don't spend time in prayer is because we're probably in our sin. There's an old saying, you know, I see this in the poster, and it has a picture of the Bible, and it says, "Sin will keep you from this book," or "This book will keep you from sin." Which one is it? And the reason why people do that, the reason why they're not spending time in the Word or spending time in prayer, is because they're spending time doing their own thing. Satisfying themselves, doing their own pleasures. And when you read the Word, you're convicted. Or when you come to God, you know you're convicted because of your sin, because you're coming before Almighty, Holy God. And maybe that's the reason why we're not in the Word. But we are to pray without ceasing, as Paul says. Let's turn to one more passage. You guys know this passage so well. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You wonder why you're so stressed out all the time? Because you are not drawing strength from Almighty God. You act as if somebody else is in charge of your circumstances. God is on the throne. He hasn't left. He's in control. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, you guys know this passage. Some of you memorized it. It says, be anxious for nothing. What does that mean? Stop being stressed out. You can't change anything. God Almighty is on the throne. He's in control. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And this is what you need. This is what I need. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. You guys know this? Put a garrison, right? Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The disciples, they failed. They weren't drawing strength from the Lord. Their faith was weak. We need to stop stressing out. Have you come this morning and you're worried? Start praying. Start asking the Lord for help. Start drawing on His strength. Start asking, knocking, seeking. That's what the Lord says in Matthew 7. And we need to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. The Lord wants to hear. You might say, He already knows all my problems. Yes, but He wants to hear from your lips. He wants you to come to Him. The Word of God says, you have not because what? Because you ask not. We just need to learn to be people of prayer. You know, my heart's desire, let me just close with this. My heart's desire is that every one of you would trust in Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. That every one of you will repent of your sin, the sin that grieves God. It's my prayer, my heart's desire for you. Now, you might be one of those people that think you're a good person. You know, a lot of people think they're a good person because you haven't done anything really, really bad, you know. You heard that, right? Well, let me tell you something. Good people don't go to heaven. Sinners saved by grace go to heaven. You understand that? Sinners saved by grace. And according to God's Word, there is no such thing as a good person, only God. So a person thinks they're good because they haven't done anything really, really, really bad. And if you believe that God will accept you because you're a good person, let me tell you something, you are self-deceived. That word, for those of you that are psych majors, deluded. You're self-deceived. There's no one going to heaven because they're a good person. Whoever goes to heaven, because, as I said, sinners saved by grace. The Word of God says every single person has broken God's laws. Every single person. And because every person has broken God's laws, every person deserves God's wrath, God's judgment, God's eternal punishment. And I like what the way of the Master does. They begin to go through the Ten Commandments. Let me ask you this. Have you ever lied? If you say no, you're lying again. And then let me ask you, how many lies have you said? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever dishonored your mother and father? Have you ever lusted on another person, looked upon another person? The Bible says you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever spoken God's name in vain? Have you ever hated somebody you wish they were dead? That's murder in your heart. Are you considered a greedy person? That's covetousness. That's also idolatry. These are just some of God's commandments. And the Word of God says that we all stand guilty before a holy God. So if God were to judge you based on His commandments, we're done for. Our only hope, or your only hope, my only hope, our only hope for forgiveness, our only hope for eternal life is Jesus Christ, whom God sent into this world to die for sinners. He was buried and He resurrected the third day. God calls each one of us to repent and to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. Have you done that? I pray that you have. Let's all stand for prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, he was so disappointed in the weak faith that was displayed all around him. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you don't ask for perfect faith, but you ask, oh Lord, that we would display faith. And faith is not just simply a concept, it is an action. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to make us people of faith, help us to spend time in your word. For faith comes by hearing, that is, hearing the word of God. Help us to spend time in your word. Help us to spend time with you. Teach us to draw our strength from you. Lord, bless us and encourage us, we pray. Bless our fellowship together. We ask your blessing now upon each one of us, and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please remain standing.